definition of a house call is a visit made to a patient or a client in their own home by a doctor or other professional. Well, I don't claim to be either. I serve the one who is both and much, much more. And I'm excited to get into God's word with you guys tonight. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews tonight. We're going to Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews. If you're new finding your way around the Bible, I'll give you some tips, okay? So after the Gospels, you're going to run into the Epistles. And the way that I remember those guys...
Go eat popcorn.
Wonderful. You can do that one. I was taught the General Electric Power Company. That was mine. I always think we get through the boys, Timothy, Titus. We get through those guys. And then we come to our Jamaican brother, Philemon, right? And then we hit Hebrews. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, God. God, you are here, and we thank you that your word is alive. And I ask, Lord, that you walk through the aisles of this place tonight, and you touch hearts and transform lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In your Bible, you might have a subtitle that says, A Call to Listen to God. I have that in mind, and we're going to dive right into what God's Word says here today, and I'm going to read verse 14, or Hebrews 12, verse 14. And I'm going to read out 14 to 17 here. It says, work at peace. Work at living in peace with everyone. Right off the bat, it's going to be a long night. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. So our first point tonight, I don't know if you guys keep notes with me, if it's just a mark thing, but you can keep notes with me as well if you feel up to it. But our number one tonight is housekeeping. Do a little housekeeping tonight, right? Housekeeping is something that we all got to work at, something that's like an ongoing thing. We got to keep up with it. It requires effort. It requires some resolve, a good attitude that says, man, this just has to be done for me to move forward. I listened recently to an awesome interview of the president of El Salvador, a man who came in and completely changed that country around. He gives all the glory of that to God. He's an awesome man of faith. And he said, man, everything requires maintenance. And in our own lives, that is true. And we're told not to grow weary in this process. And so verse 14, it says, work at living in peace with everyone. You know, as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers. We're supposed to be known as peacemakers, not peace takers, not peace breakers, not peace fakers. Okay, I'm done. But peacemakers in our homes, in our families, with our friends, in all our relationships, in our workplace, we are supposed to be peacemakers. And you know something? I was listening to something, and a guy said that no one is written off in God's eyes. And that really struck with me. You know, having difficult relationships and difficult things happen, I think sometimes we think, man, we're just going to write them off. It's too far gone, right? And the man said, no one gets written off in the kingdom of God. And I thought, amen to that. Thank you, Lord, for that. And our tools for being peacemakers is our unfailing love, our unfailing grace and mercy, our forgiveness that comes through us by following Jesus Christ And again, how much we need him to be a peacemaker out there today. It says here, it says, work at living a holy life. An old preacher said, you got to take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. It says that only the holy shall see the Lord. One writer broke it down. He said, the process of becoming holy, it starts to look like this. He says, you draw close to God with a full faith and a cleansed conscience and a genuine acceptance as Christ, as Savior, for the sacrifice of our sin. What's that mean? That means that we approach God honestly with our whole heart. We say, God, I want to know you. I need you in my life. I realize that I'm a sinner in need of salvation. And God, I know that you've paid the price for me to have a relationship with you. And we draw near to him. And the more we draw near to him, man, we see awesome things happen in our life. And for me, when I read this, seeing that those who are not holy will not see the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I want to see the Lord. I want to see him face to face, as I know we all do. On that day, we will see him face to face. But you know something? I want to see the Lord in my day-to-day life. And for me, in my own personal life, when the closer I am to the Lord, the more I strive to be close to him, the more time I spend with him, I see the Lord working in my life. I see the Lord working in my family's life. And I think not just in seeing him on the day we will, when we all stand before him, but man, we will see the Lord in our day-to-day life by drawing close to him. One of my favorite examples of this working at living holy life, it just starts like the publican, right? The tax collector, when he's standing there and he beats his chest. You guys know that story? And he says, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. And it's that attitude of that humble attitude. And we draw near to him with that attitude. It speaks of repentance, that working hard to live a holy life. We have to start with repentance there to draw close to him. And it's true that only those who have repented will see the Lord one day. Verse 15, it says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. You know, this is an awesome thing. You know, we have the responsibility as a church, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, to take care of each other. To say, hey, how you doing? How you really doing? You know, I got to say, the ladies, they got this one down pat already. You know, they're just wired for this. They know that when they get together, they're already talking about how they're really doing. Is that right? They're already talking about what's really going on in their lives and how they're really doing. I've never heard a conversation about the weather with the ladies in my life. That never happens, right? You know, us fellas, we get together. We say, hey, how you doing? And it's like, good, you? And then you could go a step further and say, well, like, how you really doing? And then it's like, why you want to know that? Well, you know, man, like, I love you. Get away from me. Don't talk to me. Yeah, that's how that goes. But you know, fellas, take it from me, somebody who thought it was easier to struggle by yourself, it's not. It's way better to have brothers on your side sharing with, living with, walking this life with. And we're called to do that. You know, a few years ago, my wife and I, we were on our way to a youth event, and we were driving in the car, and she was pregnant with our baby girl, Hallie. Many of you know this story. And we got a phone call from McMaster, and it was bad news. It was not a phone call a parent would like to receive. It went something like, your baby girl has a very serious illness, and it was not good news, you guys. And my wife and I, we had to pull over. Just outside of the beach where we got this news. And we pulled ourselves together after that phone call, and we went in, and we were at this youth thing, and, you know, I was kind of in shock. I was just kind of stunned and trying to process all that this was going to mean for our family. And And shortly after, we were in the beach, and I was in the beach in the water with all these kids. And we're at White Cat Beach, if you know where that is. And I was standing there with all these teens, and they wanted to lock arms because the waves were coming in so big, and they were hitting us. And they figured, hey, man, if we lock arms, we can take these waves. We can stand firm and not get pushed over. And I'm be honest, I'm standing there crying. They couldn't tell because I'm all wet in the water, but I'm crying because I'm thinking, man, it's a beautiful thing when the waves of life start hitting in, but you have people that you link arms with. And you know something? I felt in my heart I was ready. I was ready for whatever was going to come. I was ready for the waves to crash in because I had a good community around me. I had good people in my life. And that's what the Lord wants for us. We have a beautiful thing in this church of community, and it's so important that we do that actively, that we say, hey, man, I'm going to link arm with you because the waves are coming. The waves of life come in, and they crash, and we will stand more firm when we have each other and we're checking up on each other. It says look after to make sure that none of you fails to receive the grace of God, which means first off, man, do you know the Lord? You're my friend. You're my family member. What do you think about Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? First off, let's not fail to receive that grace, the grace of salvation, the gift of salvation, saying, hey, man, what do you think? Let's not see a brother or a friend or a sister fail to receive that grace of God. And you know what? God's grace is so good. Even a brother and a sister, when we fall down, we have things going on in our lives. Say, hey, man, listen, you got to get up. There's forgiveness. There's grace. There's joy. There's mercy. Let's keep doing this thing together. Don't let it get you down. Don't let whatever's tangling you up defeat you, man. You got to get up. God's got grace for you. He's got awesome things for you. Let's go on together, right? We need that. We need that. Man, Mark's message last week's phenomenal about speaking life. Just wherever we go, man, words are powerful. And just us being open enough to say, hey, let's do this together, you know, and reminding even ourselves as Christians what's to come. What's to come? Man, we got an amazing inheritance. We have amazing home in heaven. Don't let this life get you down. We got to press on. We got to keep moving forward. I love it, just encouraging our brothers and sisters to keep on track, to keep on track. It's so important, so important. It says, don't neglect to do any of this. Don't neglect to do this, you guys. In verse 15 at the end, it says that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And this is something that happens. It's something that I've had to watch in my own life with things that happen. And especially being a Christian, things can happen. You can get hurt. You can get disappointed. Someone can let you down. I really went through this when my brother passed away. My brother passed away suddenly in a plane crash. And man, we were just left to pick up the pieces. And As I worked my way through it was so easy for this attitude to come up, like, man, who even cares? You know, who cares about anything anymore? You know, and this, I could feel this bitterness come up in me, and thank God for the Holy Spirit keeping that in check and saying, no, we're not gonna have that. We're not gonna have this. And we need to remind each other, man, we gotta shake off these things that happen to us and move on. Keep moving forward in the Lord. And like I get it. You know, I know what it's like to take hit after hit sometimes, you know, and it's easy for us to just, you know, just let the bitterness set in. But he says, watch out. He calls it it's a poisonous root, a poisonous root. And man, if you have that, if you have poison in you, man, you need the antidote. Amen. You need the antidote. You need the cure. And the cure to this is found, which I found interesting, is the opposite of bitterness, which is not sweet. We're not talking about food here. It's not sweet. The opposite of bitterness in this regard is satisfaction. It's satisfaction and delight. Okay? You know something? This is only with the Lord, but the Lord says when we delight in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. The desires of their heart. And do you know what they are? Like, who knows, right? Who knows what my heart wants, but God knows what it needs. God knows what my heart needs. And he knows that my heart needs love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all the fruits of the Spirit. That's what my heart needs. And you know something? It's so important that we get to a place where we say, I'm already satisfied. I'm already satisfied in Christ, with him in my life. I'm not dependent on people or relationships or a job or any circumstance for my satisfaction. My true satisfaction is found in him. My delight is in him alone, and my trust is in him alone. So that no matter what comes, no matter what hurt or pain comes, I'm already delighted and satisfied with him in my life. And that root of bitterness, it doesn't grow. It does not grow. Verse 16, we see something interesting here. It says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. Y'all remember Jacob and Esau, right? Isaac was their daddy, and Abraham was their granddaddy. And if you don't know Jacob and Esau, I'm just going to break it down for you real quick, okay? Jacob, he was like, they said he stayed in tents. He was like an indoor fella. You know, if he was here today, he'd probably be living in Oakville. You know, he'd be wearing like Calvin Klein and some loafers, and I'd probably be an IT guy or something like that, right? Sorry, you guys. And Esau, don't worry, we're going the other way. Esau, you know, his name means red. When he came out, he was literally red. And so he was the first redneck, I guess, here. That's what they say. But he was like a hunter, gatherer. He wore Cabela's, right? He lived over on the fourth line, right? If you guys here on the fourth line, you got to forgive me. But you guys get the picture. And so Esau comes in. He's been hunting all day. He got skunked. And he says, hey, bro, nice apron. What are you cooking? It smells delicious. Can I have a bowl? I'm literally about to die, he says. I'm going to die. And Jacob, in his white-collar ways, he says, hey, I'll trade you this bowl of soup for your entire birthright, for your inheritance. And if you're not sure what that means, a birthright in those days, the firstborn would get a double portion of the inheritance, and had the right to be family chief and priest. It was a big deal. It was a huge deal. And the more you study that, it's got some profound undertones, like eternal life and salvation and God's hand in your life. And Esau, he just threw it away for a bowl of soup. He threw his whole inheritance, his whole future away, and it was lentil soup at that. It wasn't even like Italian wedding or anything. And it warns us here, don't be like Esau, who was immoral. And the warning for us here, you guys, is that we do not want to throw away what God has for us for something that's we can get a hold of in this passing life, something that's just fading away. You know, Esau, he was driven by his stomach. He had no thought of his future, just a complete lack of faith, no faith. He was just carnal. He had no spiritual sense of what's coming after this. You know, if you could hear anything that I say to you today, do not trade your birthright for a bowl of soup. Don't trade any worldly desire, any ambition, any lust of the world, any lust of the flesh. Do not trade any of it for your faith in Christ and the kingdom to come. Don't trade any of it. And we see that there's a seriousness here. It says that you know that afterward he wanted his father's blessing, but he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. This is a serious thing, and it was too late. My friends, right now we're living in the age of grace, right? The age of grace with an incredibly patient and loving God. But there is coming a day when it's going to be too late, where you will stand before him, and even though there will be begging with bitter tears, it will be too late for repentance. All the scripture is saying is turn to Christ. Turn to Christ with all your heart, and you will see him work and transform your life today and for forever. Don't lose sight of the world. Don't get your eyes locked on the world and what's going on and in the bowl of soups we can have out there. All that stuff isn't going to matter. All these passing things that come through our life. If we've ignored Christ, if we've ignored our faith, our future, where we're planning to end up, where God would see us end up, man, don't throw away anything you can grab in this life for that. Saying, make sure no one is immoral or godless. And Esau, we have a responsibility to those around us. Number two, tonight is our next portion of scripture here, and it's, I think we have house, we got up there, house seeking, house warming. Okay, she did change it. I'm so glad. You know something about house warming? Do you know what they call it, house warming? It's not about candles, I promise you. But years ago, when someone would come into a new house, all their friends and people around would come in and bring some wood for their house. And they would get a fire going, and they would heat that house up and keep it warm for these new people. And I don't know, I was just inspired to call it that, because what I'm about to read gets me really excited. What I'm about to read, I hope, starts a fire in your heart that keeps burning and keeps burning until we get there. In our next portion of scripture, if you have your Bibles open, is verse 18, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, titled An Unshakable Kingdom. I'm going to read through a couple verses here. It says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight, he said, I am terrified and trembling. This is the relationship that the Israelites had with God. When he brought them out of Egypt, they were there for 400 years. They didn't know the Lord. They knew of him and everything, and the Lord had to establish his holiness, his power. That's why this went on, and there are so many accounts of people who were destroyed by their lack of obedience and lack of honor and all these things. Man, but one of the best things you can learn as a human being is having a reverent fear of the Lord. It is crucial as we navigate our way through this life. But this is my favorite part in verse 22. It says, no, we haven't come to that. We haven't come to terror. We haven't come to fear when we've been called to the Lord. It says, no, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. This is what we've come to. This is what we've been called to. Mount Zion represents the new Jerusalem, our heavenly home. A place that should be on our minds more often than not. The children of Israel came to Mount Sinai. The children of God now come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the city of God. It's the company of angels, the church of the firstborn, those born again by the Spirit of the living God. At Mount Zion is the judge of all, the community of all the saints. And where is Christ himself, the author and finisher of our faith? And once when there was terror, Jesus has changed everything. And now there is joy and there is closeness. Now we have a relationship with God. There's no terror. That's gone. So when we sin, we don't have to fear of just being destroyed or zapped by a lightning bolt. Though we don't overlook that God is still serious. But because of his great love, he made an incredible way for us to have a relationship with him, to talk directly to him, to worship him in any place, that we can draw near to him in the quiet of our own home, in our car, anywhere. That shame and guilt has been removed from his sight. You know, I've said this before, but you know, we come to church and we sing these songs and we hear a message and we see this cross, and I believe that we only just grasp a little bit. We think it's awesome, but you guys, one day when we're all standing in eternity, the value of this message, the value of what Christ has done is going to skyrocket. We're going to fall on our knees. We'll be dumbstruck. We'll be awestruck of all that Christ has done for us. We will be eternally grateful. Every detail of what he's done for us will set in when we're in eternity. It's going to be amazing. And now, what a blessing it is if we can come to that realization here and now of all that Christ has done for us. Just to finish up, our last portion is called House Shaking. House Shaking. Man, this is my favorite part. There is a kingdom coming. There is a kingdom coming. Verse 25, we're going to finish off our scripture here, verse 25 to 23. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. When God speaks, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. God says that there's a shaking to come. There's a shaking to come, and we've seen some shaking in our lifetime, haven't we? You know, some of our grandparents, they've seen some shaking. We seen some earth shaking a couple years ago, didn't we? Shaking is something that God says is to come. Shaking is something that he tells us not to be afraid of. Some people have said when things seem like they're falling apart, they're really only falling into place. You know, God's in control, you guys. And we can trust him. We can stand firm in his word and his promise. And we might see some shaking in our lifetime, some more shaking. But we're instructed here to stand firm, to set our sights on the kingdom that we belong to that is eternal and unshakable. Man, you want to see some climate change? Check out Revelation 8 and 9. There's some crazy climate change going on in those chapters, you guys. And I love Psalm 2. It says, why does the nations rage? Man, if you look around the world, there's a lot of nations that are raging right now. They're raging. And it says, why do they bother? The one who sits on the circle of the earth sits and he laughs. He laughs like I laugh at the ants in my house who think they got a good thing going, right? He laughs. The one who holds the world in his palm, he looks down and he says, not on my watch. You guys think you're in control. You guys think that you have plans and purposes, but my purposes is what will be completed at the end of all this. We're instructed to not be shaken, to not be shaken, you guys. I'm just going to leave you with this thought. The last verse, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, I've heard this growing up, and I've always wondered, I guess that means he's holy, and that is true. I guess that means he's powerful, and that is true. And I know that he's a jealous God, and maybe that's part of it. But as I looked into this, in the context of this shaking that God said is to come, this whole earth that's going to be shook, it ends with, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, in ancient times, a big fire was one of the most terrifying things that could happen because a big fire was unstoppable. A big fire, there was nothing you can do to extinguish, nothing you could do to slow down, nothing you can do to put out a raging fire. And that is our God. Nothing, no man, nothing on earth or under the earth can stop our God from accomplishing his purposes. There is nothing. Nothing that can slow him down or extinguish him. He is God alone. And I'm going to leave you with this. I believe that there's one reason that's holding this back, that's holding this shaking back, and it's God's patience. It's God's patience and mercy for people. He wants to see as many people come to him before this shaking happens. He is an awesome, patient God. And he's got the hearts of every single person on this earth in his mind every day. And he says, man, I'm going to hold on. He probably doesn't say man, but he says, I'm going to hold on a little longer. I'm going to hold on a little longer so that she can come to me, so that he can come to me, so that I can be with them for eternity. It's his patience. My invitation to you here is, if you're not sure where you're going to end up when all this shaking happens, I would love to lead you to him. I would love to pray for you. I would love to talk to you. Man, if you have people in your lives that are on your hearts, I know I have them too, keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Like Mark said last week, man, let's have those hard conversations if we have to. Let's be bold and say, man, what do you think about Jesus? What's going to happen to you after you die? Where are you going to end up after all of this? You know, there's so many opportunities and people in my life. I think back, I thought, man, I wish I would have done that better. I wish I would have said something different. I wish I would have said something to that person. You know, God's great, gracious, and we have many opportunities. And man, let's make the best of those opportunities. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are Lord. You are Lord of all. You are Lord of all. God, I thank you that you are calling people to yourself, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in each of our lives, Father. I pray that you would, in these days especially, Lord, that we would draw close to you, that we would work at being holy, Father, that we would work at taking care of each other, Lord, that we would do it on purpose, Father, that we would reach out to our brothers and sisters and say, hey, how you doing? How you really doing? Let's get up. Let's keep moving on together. Father, thank you that you equipped us with everything we need. Father, help us to be in your word each day. God, I thank you for each one here, Lord, that you're working and moving. And Lord, continue to have your way in us in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We do have some further reading and some discussion questions tonight. If you would like prayer, if you'd like to chat, man, anything at all, we'd be happy to do that tonight. Please grab your kids, and we'll see you in the cafe. God bless.